Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Tuesday. It's a Tuesday morning, December 22nd, 2020, moving through the last week of Advent into the octave of Christmas, of course, for another week. And how many of you saw the Christmas star last night? Well, if you're in southeastern Michigan, probably zip zero, nada. I was looking for it, you know, about an hour after sunset. And lo and behold, the clouds refused to part. And I was kind of hoping that things were going to clear up a little bit. During the day when Deacon Dom and I were running around doing some last-minute Christmas errands, we did see the sun peek out for just a few minutes on the east side suburbs of the Motor City. And we thought, maybe it'll clear out. But nope, no such luck. Went outside shortly after sunset, and again about 45 minutes later. As UConn Cornelius said in Rudolph, nothing. Nothing. However, I was just speaking with my wonderful producer, Andrew. He was saying the same thing, nothing but clouds where he lives in the Dearborn area. But there is a cool story that I found because I thought for sure that there was an opportunity for us to see it again. And absolutely that's true, because what we're hearing about is that we could see it all the way through Christmas. So let me read you this story that I found on one of the wire services. So this is really good news. The two largest planets in our solar system coming closer together than they have been since the Middle Ages, happening just in time for Christmas, hence a nickname of the Christmas star. While it's not an actual star, the two planets will certainly make a bright splash in the night sky. On the night of December 21st, the winter solstice, Jupiter and Saturn will appear so closely aligned in our sky, they will look like a double planet. This close approach is called a conjunction. The fact that this event is happening during the winter solstice is pure coincidence, according to NASA. Alignments between these two planets are rather rare, occurring once every 20 years or so, but this conjunction is exceptionally rare because of how close the planets will appear to one another, says astronomer Patrick Hartigan, a professor of physics and astronomy at Rice University in Houston. They go on to say, if you're a stargazer, you've likely noticed Jupiter and Saturn have been getting closer together since the summer, and they're currently visible in our night sky, itching ever closer to one another. Now, this article that I found says through December 25th, they will become even cozier. So we may look for the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction low in the western sky for about an hour after sunset each evening. Bada boom, bada bing. There you go. Each evening during this time. So Andrew and I were just saying we thought it was just for last night. But apparently this runs through this Friday, December 25th, which is Christmas Day. So if we didn't see it last night, maybe we'll see it tonight. Or will we? What is the weather for? Well, let's start with Michigan. Cloudy skies today, a high of 39. Tomorrow, more clouds, 48. Looks like clouds all through the week. It doesn't mean it's going to be constant, so hopefully there could be a break in them at some point. But the temperatures are going to be, 39 today in Michigan, 48 tomorrow, a little bit cooler up north, but southeastern Michigan pushing 50 tomorrow. And then for Christmas Eve, 42 and some light snow, which will melt right away because it's above freezing. And then Christmas Day appears to be the coldest day for us in southeastern Michigan, a high of 26 degrees. Breaking up over the weekend, 34 degrees and sunshine on Saturday. Now, the national forecast, and we'll have a story about this in the news, we're talking about a storm moving in, a powerful low-pressure system and strong cold fronts expected to plow through the central, southern, and eastern U.S. over the next several days. On Tuesday, expect gusty high winds and snow from the north-central Rockies to the northern plains. Then on Wednesday and Thursday, the system will sweep through the eastern third of the U.S. with gusty winds, snow, rain, and thunderstorms. Now, I'm not seeing any major snowfalls for Michigan or the midwestern part of the state, which looks pretty clear right now. But the east, they said, could get hammered. So we'll keep you posted. We're on the air with you through tomorrow. And, of course, we'll have a special pre-record for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. As far as our show for today, Andrew lined up an excellent, excellent rundown of folks. Let's give you the lowdown. Father Stephen Pullis, I'm so excited to talk about this because I love Scripture. And there is the Unleash the Gospel Scripture Challenge. Are you up for the challenge? We shall find out. Father Steve, of course, is Director of Evangelizations, Catechesis, and Schools for the Archdiocese of Detroit. And then Dr. Scott Hahn. Wow, what a lineup. I told you. Is it right and just? Why the future of civilization depends on true religion? Oh, I cannot wait to speak with him about this, especially what's going on in our country right now, where religion, don't worry about it. Don't need it. Mass, not essential. Services, not essential. Nah. And then we go right into an interview which ties nicely together. Our friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN, National Catholic Register, and EWTN News Nightly. He is an expert in church history, author of many books, an apologist seen often on EWTN. Michael Warsaw is not available, but we wanted to talk about this whole idea which Michael put forth in an excellent editorial about the attempts to cancel Christmas. Well, guess what? Christmas can't be canceled. Newsflash. So there is much to talk about this morning with all of our guests, Father Stephen Pulis, Dr. Scott Hahn, and Dr. Matthew Bunsen on a Wednesday. So 2 cents if we have time, because we have so much news to get through this morning, and there's a lot of it, even though it's Christmas week. We are going to be taking a look at why submission is not a four, or surrender. Submission, surrender, they don't equal four-letter words. They are the best thing you can do for yourself, and we'll explain all of that coming up on your Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. It is Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020. Let's get to the news, because there's a ton of it. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on your Tuesday morning. The Vatican Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith stating it is morally acceptable to receive the COVID-19 vaccines when no alternative is available. As Vatican Radio's Devin Watkins reports, the Vatican saying the spread of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 poses a major danger, and therefore the moral duty to avoid the remote passive material cooperation is not obligatory.
Some confusion has surrounded several anti-COVID vaccines which have a distant connection to abortion. The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine and the Moderna vaccine have received emergency use approval in the United States and several other countries. Both use the cell line connected with abortion in confirmatory testing. In response to this situation, the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith released a note on Monday clarifying the use of these vaccines. Due to the situation of the ongoing pandemic, the note reads, "It is morally acceptable to receive COVID-19 vaccines that have used cell lines from aborted fetuses in their research and production process." The CDF clarifies that all vaccinations recognized as clinically safe and effective can be used in good conscience with the certain knowledge that the use of such vaccines does not constitute formal cooperation with the abortion from which the cells used in production of the vaccines derive. The note received Pope Francis's explicit approval before being released.
Community leaders will be gathering today in Brooklyn, New York, for the official renaming of a post office to the Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini Post Office Building. The legislation recently passed both houses of Congress. Signed into law by President Trump, the renaming is being done to honor St. Frances Xavier Cabrini, also known as Mother Cabrini, an Italian-American nun who was the first American citizen to be canonized as a saint by the Roman Catholic Church. Mother Cabrini, coming to New York City in 1889, with six other nuns on the advice of the Pope, who asked them back then to help the Italian immigrants who were emigrating to the nation in large numbers. She obtained the Archbishop's permission to open the Sacred Heart Orphan Asylum in West Park, New York, later renamed to the St. Cabrini Home. Cabrini also organized catechism and education classes for Italian immigrants and provided for the needs of the many orphans. She worked at Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary Church on President Street in Brooklyn until 1892, the first predominantly Italian-American church on Long Island, which is later merged into the Church of Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary in St. Stephen's. She also helped Brooklyn Bishop Charles Edward McDonald to establish the St. Charles School at President and Van Brunt Streets, with Brooklyn Bishop McDonald to serve the children of newly arrived Italian immigrants. She died on this date, December 22nd, 1917, at the young age of 67. Christmas celebrations are expected to go on in Bethlehem. Final preparations are being made for traditional celebrations. Midnight Mass at the Church of the Nativity on Christmas Eve will take place, but without the congregation. Meanwhile, traditional scout bands have struggled to prepare for musical performances in the area of the church, Nativity Square, due to the lockdowns. In other news this morning, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says Americans will see another round of stimulus checks, and soon.
People are going to see this money the beginning of next week. So it's very fast. It's money that gets recirculated in the economy, so people go out and spend this money, and that helps small business.
Mnuchin making those comments to CNBC after congressional leaders agreed to a new coronavirus relief deal, including a stimulus check of up to $600 for those who qualify. Mnuchin saying the checks are good because Americans actually spend the money they get. Congress still needs to pass the measure, though, before going home for the holidays. Alex Azar says the U.S. is now on the offensive against the virus after the FDA authorized a Moderna coronavirus vaccine over the weekend.
We're now on offense against the virus. The vaccines we are distributing are going to save lives.
During an Operation Warp Speed news briefing, the Health and Human Services Secretary said he looks forward to taking the Moderna vaccine in the coming days, adding, it's part of their effort to demonstrate to the American people that the vaccines are safe and effective in preventing COVID-19. Azar said nearly 8 million doses of both Pfizer's and Moderna's vaccines will be distributed to 3,500 sites throughout the U.S. this week. The U.S. Surgeon General says a new strain of coronavirus found in the U.K. does not mean the virus is more dangerous or even more contagious.
It could be that this new variation in the U.K. happened to be the variant that was at a super spreader event.
Dr. Jerome Adams noting he spoke about the new strain with Dr. Francis Collins, the director of the National Institutes of Health, yesterday, also saying Collins mentioned there's no indication that the virus vaccines won't fight it. Adams does note the new strain doesn't change the basic public health measures the nation and the world have been following since the coronavirus started. The West Point Military Academy is facing an academic scandal. Brian Shook tells us more than 70 cadets are being accused of cheating on a math exam.
The academy discovered the discrepancy after each cadet got the same question wrong on a portion of their calculus final, which was administered remotely due to the pandemic. At least 58 cadets have admitted to cheating, while several others are facing hearings that could result in expulsion. Most of them have since been placed in a rehabilitation program and will be on probation for the rest of their time at the academy.
A senior advisor to President Trump was in the Middle East Monday touting peace progress in the area. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and recalling recent U.S. brokered peace deals as a beginning of a new era.
Regional transformation has officially begun. First, Israel made peace with the United Arab Emirates, then with the Kingdom of Bahrain, then Kosovo and Serbia, then Sudan, and just recently Morocco.
Kushner will head to Morocco on Tuesday after they agreed to normalize relations with Israel. Netanyahu expecting more countries to follow suit. President Donald Trump's multi-layered effort to challenge the results of the election expected to culminate on January 6 of next year when the Electoral College vote count will almost surely be challenged by a group of Republican lawmakers who are vowing to block electors from seven states where allegations of voter fraud and misconduct have been raised. The Republican presidential electors in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico casting procedural votes for Trump on December 14th, creating dual slates of electors in Congress. That's happened the first time since 1960. This year, only the Democratic electors' votes in the seven states come affirmed with certificates of ascertainment signed by state authorities and are on display at the website of the National Archives. The president and several third parties are pursuing still legal challenges in six of those seven states, including several cases pending in the U.S. Supreme Court. The lawsuits allege that millions of votes, enough to alter the outcome of the 2020 presidential race, were illegally cast, processed, or counted. Actions by the courts in any of the cases over the next 2 weeks would impact how the electors from the disputed states are counted during the joint session of Congress. With Senate control, meanwhile, up for grabs in the Georgia runoffs, former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley says Republicans cannot simply rely on their base to push past the Democrats. She says they need to capitalize on inroads the president has made with minority voters to keep the two crucial Senate seats.
If you look at our last event in Forsyth County, you saw it was multicultural, multigenerational. I mean, those are the people that President Trump helped build. We have to build on top of that.
There are about 2 weeks left until the important runoff elections, and Republicans need to win just one seat to hold their current majority. President Trump planning to visit Georgia the day before the January 5th Senate runoff. Senator Kamala Harris and Ivanka Trump were campaigning in Georgia yesterday. Demonstrators protesting the Oregon special session yesterday got into the Capitol building, which is closed because of COVID restrictions. Only members of the special session were allowed in. Oregon State Police calling for backup after demonstrators sprayed bear spray on them.
Have all patrol units stay away from the Capitol east of here to the mechanic shop. Be advised, we got sprayed with OC by the crowd.
Troopers used pepper balls in response to the demonstrators. Police did not use CS gas. Four people were arrested, and police are trying to locate the 40-year-old Jeremy Roberts, who was accused of breaking a window on a door and attacking two reporters, apparently. Mark Mayfield fills us in about a large winter storm system that will make the U.S. pretty chilly later this week.
The National Weather Service says the storm is going to move from the northwest towards the central U.S. by Wednesday, bringing snow, thunderstorms, and heavy rain. Avalanche warnings have been issued from Oregon to Montana for the next few days. Forecasters predict the storm will intensify and hit the East Coast by Christmas Eve, bringing below-zero temperatures and wind chills.
All righty then. It is right now 8:15. It's a Tuesday morning, December 22nd, 2020. And remember, it is possible to see what's being called the Christmas star, the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in the sky in the southwest about an hour after sunset. And the reports that I followed up on said, well, hopefully have the opportunity to see it if you didn't see it last night. All the way through Christmas. They put down December 25th for a possibility. On the program today, Father Stephen Pulis joining us at the bottom of the hour. He's the Director of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Schools for the Archdiocese of Detroit. We're talking about the Unleash the Gospel Scripture Challenge. Unleashthegospel.org/scripturechallenge will tell you all about it. Dr. Scott Hahn really needs no introduction. He's joining us at 9:15. It is right and just why the future of civilization depends on true religion. This is such an important book, and it's such an important topic. When you push God out of everything, chaos reigns, and we are seeing that right now. I keep thinking about everything that's happening, everything that's happened, the challenges to the election, and half of the country, I don't even think, realize what happened. When you have at least a thousand people that are signing affidavits with the possibility of actually being convicted of a criminal charge if they are perjuring themselves, putting themselves forward, and some people would say, well, you know, they're doing it for the notoriety. What notoriety? Notoriety? The media aren't covering this. It's crickets. And if there's notoriety, it's not going to be good notoriety. If their name gets out there, they face all kinds of attacks. And yet all of that is being ignored. When you don't have truth and when you don't have a moral compass, you just make it up as you go along. And there's like these alternate realities. And it's very frightening. So how do we break through this? This is my question for Dr. Scott Hahn. When you have a mass media that's supposed to be serving as public watchdogs, as keeping a check on power, used to be known as a fifth estate, when it's acting as a propaganda arm of the government, and in this case, specifically one party, the Democratic Party, and they just create their own reality. And then they're telling us, those of us who have questions about the election, and it's not just conservatives, there are many, there's a survey show that I think Father Frank had, and he'll probably talk more about this tomorrow, one survey showing at least 30% of Democrats have concerns about the election. But we are being told we're crazy, we're backward, we don't know what we're talking about, we're inventing reality. And yet all these different hearings going on, all these different questions being raised, and everybody wants to push it aside and act like this never happened. And yet 4 years ago, think about what they were doing with the Electoral College. Many people in Hollywood, including it was Sally Field, Martin Sheen, I forget who else, I think Deborah Messing and a few others, did these videos calling on the electors to go against Trump. There was a massive media campaign in Hollywood and the news media seen as a last-ditch effort to prevent Trump from taking office in 2017. And yet, that's okay. That's fine. They can question. Hillary Clinton can say that Joe Biden shouldn't concede. Never, ever, ever. Do not give up. Of course, no context with that. And yet we're just supposed to accept anyone who has any questions, regardless of their party affiliation. And as I said, there are people on both sides of the aisle who are concerned about this. We're just supposed to let it go away. So where does our faith come into this? Because Jesus Christ is a way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth with a capital T. The Catholic Church is the fullness of truth. And when you push truth, when you push God out of everything, again, you make it up as you go along. We've seen the same scenario, the same invention with other major issues such as, right, birth control, abortion, so-called same-sex marriage, the whole transgender agenda, all of these illusions that all of these things are wonderful and accepted and supposed reality about who we are, when the opposite is actually true. But the propaganda that goes on is so dangerous. We had a wonderful dinner party at our home on Saturday with Vanessa Denhagarmu and her husband, and also our friends Michael and Kasia, who are from Poland. And Michael is a deacon in the Archdiocese of Detroit. And they were both talking about living in Poland and growing up under a government that was just overrunning everything, overran everything in your lives, the communist message, communism, socialism, the pressure, and the propaganda that existed and convinced so many people of an alternate reality. And even if they believed in reality and in truth, there were so many threats and so many dangers to their livelihood that it was very difficult to push back without suffering great consequences, both white and red martyrdom. And the same thing is happening in our country now. Think about all the censorship. Think about everything that's going on in our country and in our world. And we're just supposed to sit back and say no big deal and just go on with our lives. That's why I'm really interested, among other reasons, to speak with Dr. Scott Hahn. It is right and just why the future of civilization depends on true religion. I'm sure it's going to be a very, very interesting and helpful conversation, and we'll wrap up with Dr. Matthew Bunsen on how they're trying, but no matter what, they can never cancel Christmas. We'll be right back.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
Detroit Catholic and Funeral Home Services and all Archdiocese cemeteries want to wish everyone a very blessed Christmas and a Happy New Year. We realize this time of year can be challenging for many of our families. Please know we are praying for you on a consistent and daily basis to help everyone rely on Christ at this time. If you would like more information about your Archdiocese of Detroit cemeteries, please contact us at cfcsdetroit.org. We await you in joyful hope.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my right.
And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is our gospel for today from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. Of course, Mary's fiat, her soul proclaiming the greatness of the Lord, the Magnificat, her fiat, her yes, when Gabriel said to her about who she is and what will happen. And she said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord," as we read just yesterday. "Let it be done according to thy word." And I wanted to talk about this a little bit today because many people are wondering what's happening. It's a pretty crazy year. It's a pretty crazy time. And I don't know if it can get any crazier. Every day there seems to be something else. You can just kind of throw up your hands and say, I just don't know. But this is what we have to do. We have to be more like our Blessed Mother. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices, and we continue to rejoice in God, my Savior. So what does Mary do, and what have we read these last few days about the Blessed Mother? She is submitting and submitting and submitting, recognizing who God is and who she is not, and also accepting God's will in her life, even though she had no idea how it would turn out. She trusted. And she said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word." And so many of the problems that we have in our world today have to do with this refusal, this fear, and even in the church, this fear of total submission to God. I was doing an hour-long interview with Kristalina Evert over the weekend on her show, Women Made New, about my new book, Listening for God, Discovering Incredible Ways God Speaks to Us. And she said, well, as we were wrapping up, what are the three things that people can do in order to truly hear from God? And this whole idea of hearing from God, listening for God, with actually we're going to talk about with Father Steve coming up, because the Unleash the Gospel Challenge is based on a quote from Archbishop Vigneron about listening to God. And I said to her, the first thing that we have to do, and not just once, is every single day we have to get up and we have to submit. Here I am, Lord. I have come to do your will. I have no idea what the day is going to bring, but let me be your servant. As St. Teresa of Avila says, I am yours. I was made for you. What do you want me to do? So when we understand who we are in relationship to God and that he has a special will in our lives, we look at things a little bit differently. Doesn't mean we don't get frustrated. Doesn't mean we don't get frightened about what's happening. I mean, we're human beings, and so we are going to be concerned and worry. But as Christians, we should never give in to despair. And we should constantly be able to open ourselves up to be used, whatever the Lord wants us to do. And he wants what's best for us, and so he will use us to make a difference. And sometimes it might be a lot more difficult than others. He didn't promise us a rose garden. He did promise us the abundant life, John 10:10. But that comes by first, again, submitting. The second thing I said in the three things that I mentioned was to be in the faith big time. In other words, to be in a state of grace, which means you receive the sacraments on a regular basis. You go to Mass, and even if you can't, if you're compromised and you can't go to Mass, obviously some people can't, then you still make the most of the Sabbath. You watch Mass online. You do your readings. If you can get to confession, you go. But you constantly make sure that you're in touch with the church and taking advantage of all the tools that we have. And thirdly, I said, pick up a copy of the book, because it's got great stories in there, and there's also great resources and questions and quotes and from the saints and words of wisdom from the many, many contributors from around the country. But the biggest thing I said throughout the interview was that if you want to hear from God, it all starts with submission. And lots of times God is still speaking to us even when we haven't submitted. That happened to me. I mentioned this in the interview on Saturday. I look back on my life now and I realize that God was reaching out to me through other people. There was a woman I worked with in one of my first big radio jobs early on. And she was a wonderful evangelical sister in the Lord, and she's still a friend of mine today. And she knew that I was Catholic, and she also knew that I wasn't quite there yet or anywhere with my faith. And she would talk to me about faith, and she'd mention Jesus. And one day she walked in with a few of the original pamphlets that Mother Angelica was printing at the time. This was back in the 80s. And she said, you know, you should look into this nun. She's great. She's always talking about Jesus. I think you'd really like her. She's Italian. She's funny. She does a great job of witnessing. And then I can remember doing a story when I was at Channel 50. It was on 8 Mile somewhere at some shopping center. I don't know what story we were covering. But back then, we still had a photographer and a sound man with us. It was a 3-man band. Then it became a 2-man band. Now I think in some cases it's a 1-man band with reporters doing everything themselves, which is ridiculous. Anyway, that's a whole other story at another show. Bottom line is there were several people there along with people watching, because whenever they saw a camera, you know, it would attack people and they'd come over to see what was happening. Out of the blue, this woman walks up. As we're doing after the interview, the usual cutaways where they take pictures of the person and the reporter speaking so they can use that for B-roll. And she walks right up to me, not anybody else, and there must have been about, I don't know, 7 or 8 people gathered as we were doing the story. And she hands me a Christian tract with quotes about Jesus on it and just kind of disappears. So little things like that looking back, and this is in the midst of my very secular pagan life when it was all about my career and all about myself. And so God is constantly knocking on the door of our heart. As it says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open it, I will come in and dine with you. So he knocks, but we have to open it. As that picture, that beautiful painting that illustrates that verse in Revelation so beautifully. He's not going to barge on the door and push it down. As a matter of fact, the image shows no doorknob on the outside. Why? Because God is a gentleman. And he wants us to enter into a personal relationship with him through our own free will. And third, again, as I said, get a copy of the book, Listening for God. It'll be a real good resource for you. The bottom line is this submission, constantly submitting to the will of God in our lives and not putting God in a box. We played a portion of Father Andrew Dawson's beautiful homily that he gave at the noon mass on Sunday about how David really was kind of putting God in the box. And then in the gospel, we see Mary not putting God in a box, saying, whatever he wants me to do. And Gabriel says, nothing is impossible with God. And I think despite all the trouble we're in right now in this country, despite all the craziness and the alternate reality that is continually created by those who just want to make it up as they go along and don't accept the fact that we're made in the image and likeness of God, male and female. Don't accept the fact that abortion is murder. Don't accept the fact that contraception is not good for anybody and is an intrinsic evil as well. Don't accept the fact, again, about our sexual identity in terms of who we are, male and female, our DNA, and on and on and on and on. We still maintain and believe, and by our submitting and being witnesses, we can make a difference. May take longer, may be harder, but we have to continue to submit and to exalt in the Lord, and as Mary says, proclaim the greatness of the Lord, and let our spirit rejoice in God our Savior. It's 8:34.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
I just wanna praise you.
All right, taking every ounce of control that I have not to jump up out of my chair and start dancing. I love that song, Shackles by Mary Mary. And you want to be free to take the shackles off, get closer to God. One way to do that, a big way to do that, as I was just saying before the break, was to first submit and then to be in the beauty of the faith, beginning with reading the scriptures, reading the Bible. What a concept, considering it's our Bible. Father Stephen Pullis is Director of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Schools for the Archdiocese of Detroit and has come up with a terrific challenge for the new year and beyond. Unleash the Gospel Scripture Challenge, unleashthegospel.org/scripture-challenge. Father, good morning and happy Advent to you and an early Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Teresa. These last few days of Advent where we're proclaiming the O Antiphons and getting ready for the birth of our Savior, what a joyful time, even though we're in the darkest days of the year, getting ready for the light of all the nations to come and dwell upon us.
Amen. All right, so tell us where the idea came from. I know this is something that you developed. What were you thinking and praying about when you came up with the Gospel Scripture Challenge?
So towards the end of 2019, if we can remember way back then, before the pandemic, before everything that we've gone through this year, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, announced that the third Sunday in Ordinary Time would be the Sunday of the Word of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This came out of the Synod on the Word of God from Pope Benedict's papacy. So I feel like this has been a long time, number of years in the making, to say, how can we help Catholics appreciate and celebrate God's Word and really know His Word more deeply? When Unleash the Gospel came out, it talked about the necessity for Christians, for Catholics in the Archdiocese, to listen and to respond to God's Word in sacred scripture. And so my team, we started thinking about how can we kind of help people appreciate the Word of God? How can we help celebrate this Sunday of the Word of God? And we came up with this challenge for 2021 for people to read either the whole Bible or just a portion of the Bible this year, but to make a commitment. You know, 2021 has been such a challenging year. So many things have happened to us that are outside of our control and have affected our faith. We said, what's something we can give to people to say, you don't have to just be a victim of everything going on. You can take control of your faith life, give yourself to the Lord, and grow closer to Him by making a commitment at the beginning of this year. And we came up with this 2021 Scripture Challenge.
All right, so you're kicking it off now, but is there an official date, Father, when you're encouraging folks to start this?
Yeah, January 1st, 2021. So just in a couple of weeks here, we think it's a great way to make a resolution, a commitment for the new year, to say, you know, this year we've been focusing on encounter in our Encounter Grow Witness series. How do we encounter the Lord? When we go into 2021, we're going to really focus on grow. How do we grow as a disciple? And we've held up scripture and joining a small group as the two preeminent ways in Detroit. And this is one of the ways we're helping people to grow by falling more in love with scripture.
I love the quote from Unleash the Gospel. I was telling you during the break, it ties directly in with my new book, Listening for God. Archbishop Vigneron saying, listening and responding to God's word in the sacred scriptures must be at the heart of our efforts to unleash the gospel. One who is in love desires to know more and more about the beloved. Since all scripture speaks of Christ, immersing ourselves in the word is a way to deepen our initial encounter and grow in our relationship with Him. That to me, I just think, sums it up, because if we love the Lord, we want to know Him better. And how do you get to know someone? Well, in this day and age, right, we text, we email, Instagram, instant messaging, all these things that we have on social media and beyond to communicate with each other. And yet we have this Bible sitting on our desk, on our coffee table, wherever. And how often do we grab it and just immerse ourselves in it? And this is God speaking to us.
Yeah, and for so many Catholics I've met, the Bible can be a little intimidating. It can be so big, or there are parts where they don't quite understand what's happening. There maybe are different genres of how it's written. There's some beautiful poetic language. There's also some apocalyptic language talking about the end times. There's history and genealogies. There's all different parts of Scripture that can maybe, you know, cause someone to say, well, I don't know where to start. I'd like to know the Bible more, but I don't know how to do it. And so these challenges, whatever guild one signs up for, creates a simple daily plan that gives people the opportunity day by day to make a commitment. Teresa, when you talk about love, is the desire to know the beloved more and more from Unleash the Gospel, as we have that quote. It's also the willingness to make a commitment
right.
to knowing that person. And that's what we want to help people do, to say, you know, it's not just once in a while I'll read scripture, but I want to make it a part of my life, a part of my discipleship. I want to make a commitment to reading the Word of God regularly, and we think this is a great plan that'll help people do that.
I think it's awesome, and it makes it fun, too, the way you set it up. And by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, we're talking with Father Stephen Pullis, Director of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Schools for the Archdiocese of Detroit, about the Unleash the Gospel Scripture Challenge. And it seems like it's a scene out of Chariots of Fire or something. It's really kind of cool, though, the way this analogy, I love it. If you're old enough to remember Chariots of Fire, what were you, about 2 when it came out? Just saying. Anyway, you remember the music.
It,
so. Yes, exactly. So you start off with the 5K challenge. So explain the analogy here, Father, because this is really fun.
Yeah, we took the line from St. Paul where he says, run so as to win the race. We wanted to say, you know, this is meant to be for everyone. Whether you are a spiritual endurance athlete, and so you've been growing in your faith regularly throughout the last few months and years, and you're kind of, you know, at a level where you're well-trained. And so we have something for the deeper end. But we also wanted to say, maybe you haven't. Maybe this year has been really challenging and you felt like you've slipped away in your faith. What's an easy way for you to begin to start doing that again? You know, if you take someone and say, why don't you run an Ironman or a full marathon starting January 1st? Some people wouldn't be up for that. Some people like me wouldn't be up for that. And that could be very intimidating. So we want to say, what's kind of the shallow end of the pool, something easy that people can begin to get into scripture with? And so we start with this 5K challenge, which is just reading the Sunday gospel week by week. And we've done that in our 52 Sundays book that we put out for the second year. And it's great for
That's too easy. Everybody should just jump ahead to the 10K. I'm sorry. Just reading the Sunday. I mean, I know you're trying to be very reasonable, and appreciate it because you understand people are at different levels. But come on, we can do more than just read the gospel every week.
Here's the idea, Teresa. This is really for parents with young kids to say, here's something you can do as a family. So it doesn't be the only thing an adult does on their own, but it's something to do with your small children. But the 10K is where we start to pick up a little bit, and the 10K and everything after that involves daily reading of Scripture. And so the 10K, we call it the Stanley Rother Guild, is reading the gospel a little bit each day, so that you'll have read the whole gospel in 2021, all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah. All right, then you've got the half marathon challenge. How did you come up with the names for the different challenges?
You know, we picked saints that our team really liked, saints that represent kind of the whole scope of the Archdiocese of Detroit, saints we thought would be a chance that people could get to know a little bit better, too. The way we talk about saints in 52 Sundays is they're our extended family. If the church is the bride of Christ and the family of God, the saints are our extended family that we should get to know. And so Stanley Rother and Josephine Bakita, Solanus Casey, John Paul II, all of these are saints that we want to get to know more deeply and can be our guide to accompany us in this challenge.
Yeah, I was just giving you a hard time about the gospel thing each week. Because
no, that's okay, yeah.
I want to encourage people to do that, but to do more, because Dominic and I was telling you during the break, we came back to the Catholic Church through a non-denominational Bible study, fell in love with Scripture, and have made it a part of our daily walk as a married couple ever since. It makes such a difference, Father. Even when we're on vacation, we take our Word Among Us, our Magnificat, and we spend that. You know, it only takes about 15, 20 minutes, really, to sit down. And it just has such an effect on your entire day.
Yeah, it's meant to be, the way I think of it, a bit of a leaven, or, you know, Christ uses you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I think about that with Scripture, too, reading God's Word. Kind of brings light to my life, and it gives salt. It kind of flavors the rest of what I do during my day.
And what's so great about being Catholic is that when we are reading this with the mind of the church, it helps us understand, because you brought up a great point, that if you've never picked up the Bible You may think, oh my gosh, it's so intimidating, but when you have the authoritative teaching of the church showing us what is meant by it, as opposed to making up our own, you know, self-interpretation, which actually the letter of St. Peter warns against. We're not mm-hmm. supposed to be doing that, because then you can go all over the place. It's very helpful, because when you have the mind of the church with you on that, you'll have a deeper understanding of it.
Yeah, and if you're participating, as you mentioned just before I came on, Teresa, if you're participating in the sacramental life of the church, that is meant to shape our understanding of Scripture, too. Scripture is at the service of how we encounter God here and now, and we encounter Him most powerfully through the sacraments. And so participating in the Mass, receiving the sacrament of confession, and receiving Holy Eucharist worthily, all of those kind of sacramental participation in the life of the church that we do week by week should help shape how we read Scripture, how we understand how God has communicated Himself to us.
Yeah. So in terms of the last challenge on here, the big one, you've got the full marathon challenge, Our Lady of Guadalupe, reading the whole Bible in a year. And then the last one, you've got the triathlon challenge you mentioned, Blessed Solanus Casey, and the mm-hmm. Ironman challenge, the St. John Paul II Guild, reading the whole Bible in a year, monthly confession, joining a small group, and daily rosary. So who do you think should attempt that last one, Father? How do you see that working out in people's lives?
I see that as being available to anyone. When I look at that, you know, if you have not been practicing your faith, that may be too much, but I would say anyone who's going to Mass regularly on Sunday, this is a way to say, I need Christ more deeply in my life. Teresa, I look at the world, I see the chaos happening in the world so much confusion and tension in our world, and I say, now is the time for us to give ourselves more wholly, completely to Christ. And I think this Ironman Challenge, the St. John Paul II Guild, is exactly what our world needs to be doing right now, what faithful Catholics need to be doing. Not just focusing on all the problems out in the world, but to say the best way I can serve God in the world is by knowing Him more deeply in my own life. And so taking up the John Paul II Guild Ironman Challenge is for any faithful Catholic who says, I want to be a saint, and I want to be the man or woman God is calling me to be for this world, for this time, right now.
Now, are you asking folks to sign up so you know how many people are doing this? Are you keeping track in any way, Father?
Yeah, so if people sign up over on unleashthegospel.org/scripture-challenge, they'll get an easy guide that they can put into their Bible so that week by week, day by day, they can track their progress. So we want to accompany people while they're doing it. We're going to offer resources for people all throughout the year to help them stay on track, so it's not just a January 1st and we forget about them for the rest of the year. We're going to be following up with the different guilds and having opportunities to kind of see where they are, how's it going, how we can help them. So if people sign up, they're going to get this awesome guide, and they'll get continued resources throughout the year.
That's awesome. What a great thing to do. Well, thank you, Father, for this. I think it's a great idea, and I love the fact that we continue to encourage people to read Scripture, because for me, if you want to hear God speak to you, just open the Bible, and you'll be so amazed. And sometimes, Father, it's actually, you kind of say to God, okay, you're just showing off today, or you're really a comedian, because it seems like He'll move, at least that's happened to me a gazillion times, He'll move the verses around to particularly affect what you're feeling that or going through that particular day.
Yeah, God really knows us better than we know ourselves, and so every time we open the Word of God, we should open it with an expectation that He wants to speak to us there.
Yeah, He certainly does. Father, thanks so much. Wishing you a very, very Merry Christmas. Thanks for all you do. And let's catch up maybe at the beginning of the year again to remind folks to really do this, because I think this is awesome. And this is based on a beautiful statement and marker in Unleash the Gospel. Growing your Scripture challenge, grow your Scripture challenge, listening and responding to God's Word in the Sacred Scriptures must be at the heart of our efforts to unleash the Gospel. So there you go. We're running the race. Thanks, Father. And Merry Christmas.
And don't be a wimp and just do the 5K challenge. Sign up for something harder.
There you go. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Teresa. Merry Christmas.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where their customers come in for great service and for the largest selection in state and competitive prices. For the holidays, ask for Dearborn brand honey-glazed spiral slice hams for just $3.70 per pound. This 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and whiskey library. And delivery is available. Visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at thewinepalace.net. The Encounter Online Virtual Conference is December 28th to the 30th with seven powerful speakers, prophecy, healing, and impartation. Do you want more?
The truth is, brothers and sisters, there is no solution to the cultural and church crisis but Jesus Christ the Lord, alive in a church that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Period. That's it. He's finding out right now who's with me, who wants to live in the Spirit of God, who wants to follow me. That's what he's doing. It's going to be a work of God for the glory of the Father glorifying the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit through a people who are alive to him and are proclaiming him with everything they've got.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
Detroit Catholic and Funeral Home Services and all Archdiocese cemeteries want to wish everyone a very blessed Christmas and a Happy New Year. We realize this time of year can be challenging for many of our families. Please know we are praying for you on a consistent and daily basis to help everyone rely on Christ at this time. If you would like more information about your Archdiocese of Detroit cemeteries, please contact us at cfcsdetroit.org. We await you in joyful hope.
Another great song. This is great, Andrew. One of my Motown favorites. Stevie Wonder. Love Light in Flight. Just saying. Great tune. Anyway, coming up, Dr. Scott Hahn, Is It Right and Just? Why the Future of Civilization Depends on True Religion. And Dr. Matthew Bunsen joining us in the next hour of Catholic Connection. I'm so excited about both of the interviews because it directly addresses what we are going through right now in the world and in the church. We'll be right back. It is a Tuesday of the fourth week of Advent. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. How about you? We'll be right back.